Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen, here with Monique Scott and Cindy Chavez. This is your Daily Dose of Happy. We are so happy you decided to join us today, and we're so happy to have Cindy back after all these weeks. Yeah! Monique gets to meet Cindy, Cindy gets to meet Monique, and I have to tell you, Cindy, she's done a great job filling in while you've been away, so, you know, I guess we're just going to have to keep both of you. That's all there is to it.
Awesome.
So how you been? I mean, it's been a long time, but what you been up to? You been?
I know, it has been a while. I filled all that extra time with making art and writing and reading and I got my first vaccination. Happy about that.
Very good.
That was good. We were not eligible, either one of us, yet here. But we called the pharmacies, the two closest to us, and asked to be put on a no waste list, because once they take the vaccines out of the cooler, they have to pitch them in 6 hours if they haven't used them all. And do you know that we got called, we put ourselves on the list. They called us that night, but we missed the call. They called us the next morning and our air conditioner had gone out. So we had called the AC guys out and the AC guys were pulling up when the pharmacy called. So we said, no, we can't come. Cause they had asked us, like, how far away are you? And we said 2 miles. And they said, okay, cause you need to be able to get here. And the person said in like 15 minutes.
So we said,
okay, well, so then they called again and we missed that call. They called the next day and this is hysterical. We were cooking lunch and the phone rang and I looked at it and it was the pharmacy and I looked at my husband. I was like, pharmacy. And I turned all the burners off. I was like, going to be ready to just get out of there. It was 12:30. And the lady said, are you still interested? I said, yeah, we haven't had our vaccination yet. She said, well, I said, do we need to come? We need to come right now, right? She goes, well, we're all going to lunch. Can you come at 2? Yes.
Oh my God.
Turned all the burners back on. So we went and actually it was just me on the list. And I went in and I said, hey, my husband's with me and he hasn't had a vaccination either. Do you have an extra one? And the pharmacist said, well, we have this list and bring him in. So then we got the shot. We came home. My phone was on silent. And we missed 2 more calls from the second pharmacy. So within 48 hours, we got called 6 times to come get a shot.
Wow.
I've been telling everyone this because someone I just spoke to said that she's not expecting to be eligible where she lives until July.
Uh-huh.
Because, they started at age and they worked their way down and people that are essential workers. And she was like, I work at home. I'm fairly young. I'm healthy. They're saying July. And I said, well, maybe not. You know, right? I mean, it's law of attraction. It's like,
that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is this the J&J or is this the Pfizer or Moderna? So is it like 1 shot, 2 shots? What is this?
This one was Moderna.
Moderna.
And
okay.
The Moderna one, you get the shot and we thought it was 2 weeks because the Pfizer one is 2 weeks, but the Moderna one is 4 weeks. And I was really
Really?
And then after the second shot, you have to wait 2 weeks and then you're good to go, right? So I was trying to angle this to where my birthday at the end of April, where we would be good to go, but it doesn't look like we're going to get there. But it'll be close, right? So we got our first Fauci ouchie and...
Fauci ouchie, I hadn't heard that one.
Neither have I.
We didn't have any side effects except for the second day. I had a couple of moments where I was just really irritable about nothing. I was just like, oh. And so we began to just refer to that as the Fauci, ouchie, grouchies. We both had a sore spot at the injection site, but my husband's like, well, of course your arm is sore. They just stuck you with a needle, right?
That's right.
But that was it. And, we keep hearing that it's the second shot where people have the side effects. Apparently the first shot is supposed to sort of tell your body, hey, look at this. This is the thing. When you see this thing, kill it. Your immune system. And so the first shot trains your body to know what to look for. And the second shot says, okay, let's practice.
Let's practice.
There it is.
Oh, wow.
Those are the side effects, right? That people get with the second shot. So The most I've heard from people is said to me that their first shot, they had a sore arm, and their second shot, they just wanted to sleep for 2 days. And so you just have to plan for it, I guess.
I guess so. All right. Well, I mean, I've long believed that with all this stuff, mindset's going to make the difference anyway. So I think it probably depends on what your mindset. Are you going to need to sleep? Then, yeah, you're probably going to need to sleep.
Yeah.
What was so funny is that I kept hearing people having side effects, you know, with the second shot. And some of them were like more than just needing to sleep. Some of them were like, I had the worst headache I've ever had or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I started saying to people, they were like, I'm getting my second shot today. And I was saying, oh, good. Good luck. I hope you don't have any side effects. And then my husband reads to me. It's like, when you get the side effects, it's telling you that it's working. I said, oh, no, I don't want to be wishing people that it's not working, right? It's
like, right.
Okay. It is what it is.
That is funny. Well, you've had plenty of adventures. There's no doubt about that.
Definitely have had some adventures. Been studying a lot, painting a lot, knitting. Got really cold, so I ordered a bunch of stuff to knit presents for people. And then, of course, the mail has been terribly slow, so none of the yarn got here in time. So now I'm giving people warm winter hats, and it's 80 degrees. But
yeah, right. Well, think of it as for next winter. That's what it's for.
Right? Yeah. Said you might have to pack this away for a while.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. That's good. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. So,
well, we've been doing a lot of exploring of law of attraction, and Monique and I have been kind of getting to know each other. And I've got to tell you, there have been times, Cindy, where I was having flashbacks talking to her and getting answers that were very similar to the ones you would give. And it was confusing, right? Because you're two different people, but you're both very, very positive. You're both very, very up people. Right now I think I'm going to have a little bit more flashbacky thing because I got two of you in my monitor right now, and you're both, and you both, I know what it's like talking to both of you. Our listeners know what it's like to talk to both of you. So
right.
I'm kind of curious to see what's my reaction going to be here. I don't know. But Monique lives in the South like you do. You're in Louisiana. She's currently visiting her. Are you still in Houston visiting your daughter, Monique?
Yeah, I'm still in Houston.
Although she's actually, listen, you're in Miami normally, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's a Southern girl like you are right now. And she was just living through all the craziness in Houston with the electricity losses and the power losses, all that kind of thing. And telling stories about how it didn't affect her. And I'm thinking, my God, this is just like talking to Cindy. It's crazy.
All about mindset.
It is all about mindset.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, I think part of it too is recognizing that, you know, life on earth is hard sometimes.
Yeah.
So it's a lot less discouraging when you aren't having a mindset that says everything should always be perfect and right. What's wrong with me that I'm experiencing, you know, a hurricane? Well, it's just life on earth. So when you know that and you're willing to say, hey, these things happen, good luck, bad luck, you know, like we've talked about that a lot, that something good always comes after, right? The rainbow comes after the hurricane. So knowing that and having that attitude, I think it's helpful. Very helpful.
It's also about what's going on during. I mean, because when you had actually lost your power, Monique, you and your daughter were having conversations about stuff. And it was all about appreciation. I mean, you were living in appreciation in the middle of a blackout.
Yeah, because I knew that there were so many other people who probably had it worse. Like I said, my daughter lives in a newer apartment complex. Mm-hmm. And so I think they're only like 4 years old. I think they were built in like 2016. So really the windows, you know, like I said, it didn't get any more than like 58 degrees inside the apartment, even though it was like 12 degrees outside. We weren't like freezing or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, there were stories of other people afterwards, because they didn't have any internet either. But it was stories of people afterwards who pipes had burst. And can you imagine your pipes bursting and it's already freezing, you know, so the pipes burst and then the water freezes, you know, people not having food and not having, I mean, I just felt so blessed. I just really felt so blessed.
We saw a picture of a ceiling fan inside an apartment or a house, mm-hmm. or icicles hanging from it. And my husband, like right at first, said, "What am I looking at?" And I said, "The pipes broke. The pipes upstairs broke and leaked the water. And then it just froze into icicles." It was just like, whoa, that was, yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was really, really tough. And, living down here in Hurricane Country, we,
say that again, Cindy,
living down here in Hurricane Country, we've had our share of power outages and, you know, but never the power outage in the freezing weather at the same time. That's
just, I heard that was the thing here, that everybody was like, oh my God. And then they started doing like the rolling power kind of thing. And that kind of made people mad, you know, come on for a couple of hours and then it go off, but you never knew when it was going to come on and you never knew when it was going to go off. Right.
Yeah. They actually did that here too, but we never lost power. So I guess
where are you?
We're in Louisiana.
I mean, where? I'm from Louisiana.
Okay, Baton Rouge, 3 hours from Houston.
Oh, okay. You're in the BR. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So we had those rolling power things too. And some of my friends had it happen in their neighborhood, but our neighborhood, I think it's, I am on a corner and for whatever reason, it's just us. I live in the middle of the city, big neighborhood, but it's just us. So if our power goes down, we're the last to get it fixed because they're trying to fix all the areas where they can do one thing and have 1,000 houses back on, not come fix one house.
Wow.
But on the flip side, if we, you know, don't lose power, we don't lose power. But yeah, it was, I just, those pictures of the freezing houses and the stories of people living through that, that was pretty devastating. Especially for Texas, like we're not used to that here, right? 12 degrees. We don't deal with that too often. Walt's used to it. Walt's like, 12 degrees. What are you whining about?
Well, no, I won't quite say that about 12 degrees. 12 degrees is cold. That's Miami, darn cold.
If you're from Miami or you live in Miami, you're not probably used to 12 degrees either, right?
Well, I've only been living there since September, and then I'd spent like 20 years in Atlanta.
Oh, I love Atlanta. Okay. Yeah. I've never been to Miami, but I have a lot of friends that love Miami and want to go there every chance they get. So.
Oh, yeah. I love that I live where people vacation. I love it.
That is a nice thing. Yeah.
I have to admit, that's one of the conversations Louise and I have had often over the last couple of years or so as we try to figure out where do we want to live. Like we have chosen to live here mainly because this area that we're in right here in Connecticut is really good for the gardening services business that Louise started and that I helped run now. But we're getting to the point where at some point we probably want to sell it, move on to other stuff. Louise is kind of in semi-retirement mode. So the conversation is about where do we want to go? And I think if we really had our druthers, we'd actually want to live in two places. We'd like to be snowbirds, you know. We'd like to live in the north in the summer and live in the south in the winter, that kind of a thing.
Okay.
Yeah. But we can't come to agreement on one thing. She wants to live in the Caribbean. I actually want to stay in the States, but in the south. So we're trying to figure out how to, you know, bridge that gap. Not that there's anything wrong with the Caribbean. I like the Caribbean. You know,
if my husband were in here, he'd be pushing for Louise's Caribbean.
He would. Okay.
He spent every summer growing up in St. John. So he's like, he wants to live on a boat. Like he's like looking at these big boats and like, yeah, and he feels really sad because he is a merman and I'm not a merman. I will sit on the sand in the sun and have so much fun, but I don't need to go in the water. He's like, I don't think you could live on a boat. I'm like, I'll try. What does it hurt to try?
Just as long as it's a quick trip to shore, then you'll be okay. Otherwise, you may not like it too much.
Right. That's true. That part's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll just have to see. Yeah, it's like Cindy wants to live on a boat that's docked.
Right. Hey, people do that. There are a lot of people who do that. Yeah. That's a lifestyle.
So, you know, we'll see. We'll see if that happens. I think the boats that he's been dreaming about, I think we need to win the Powerball first.
Yeah, I understand that part too. Yeah. Now, of course, the other thing that you guys both have in common is that you're both life coaches. And that's also been really fun hearing Monique's stories and remembering, of course, stories that you've told about, you know, the things in general that we deal with when we're dealing with people on a professional basis. There have been a number of things that have popped up in Facebook lately. I'm trying to think which ones I'd want to bring in. One I brought up yesterday, and I'm kind of curious to know what your take on it is for each of you ladies. It's something that is so basic that we kind of forget about this when we talk about law of attraction stuff. But there was a kid who is high school age, and he was facing the question of, apparently he has three different high schools in his area that he can attend, and he wasn't sure which one to go to. And so he was asking, well, how can I get, you know, how do I tap into getting, you know, God or inner guidance or meditating to get insights or whatever it is to find out which one to go to? And so I followed up with him and others followed up with him and came to find out that the real issue for him was he didn't know what he wanted to go to school for. He didn't know what his goal was, which means that he hadn't asked and answered the most fundamental question. What do I want?
Right.
What do I desire?
It's the hardest question for people to answer too. And it's so basic, right?
It is. It's like, how do you get going without that? And yet a lot of people are there, right?
Yeah.
How do you guys deal with that? Monique, when you're dealing with a client, do you get that as an issue that comes up? And if you do, how do you handle that one?
About them not knowing what they want?
Right, yeah.
I kind of have an exercise that I send them to because most people, or that I take them through, most people can tell you what they don't want, right? We can say all day long, oh, I don't want this and I don't want that. Well, what do you want? I don't know. What do I want? Right. So, I kind of have like a little exercise that I take them through, and it's probably kind of basic, and maybe Cindy has done it before, or maybe she does it with her own clients, but I get them to write out, their perfect day scenario or their perfect life scenario, right? Whichever one they feel more comfortable with. Right. And I just tell them, don't, because of course I'm into manifestation and I believe you can have anything you want. So I tell them, don't hold back. What is it that you want? You know what I say all the time? Why even bother manifesting the Mazda if you want the Maserati? It doesn't even make sense to me, right? Or the Jaguar, since we've had several people on this
show. That's right.
The Jaguars, right? Or whatever. So that's pretty much where I have them to start, because then when they do kind of do this exercise and really sit and think about, ooh, what would I like? Like Cindy's husband, he knows he wants to live on a boat. He knows that's what he wants, right? So that's a no-brainer. Louise knows that she wants to stay somewhere where it's cold, right? Sometimes.
She definitely does. She's a snow person. Yeah.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't have to be the entire winter is all I'm asking.
Right? So that's the very first place that I have them to start, is by kind of creating this dream scenario, if you will, of your perfect day, or usually your perfect life and what that looks like. And for me, that encompasses everything. If you're a business owner, what type of business, or if they're in the business that they want to be in, which is usually coaching, right? Because I work with online coaches. So how much money do you want to make per month? What's your ideal client? Like I cover it all, right? From the car to the lifestyle, to where you want to live, what kind of clothes you would wear. For me, how many wigs would you have? Right? Everything. So that's generally where I start them from, is just figuring out what are the things that your ideal life would look like. I'm going to pass it off to Cindy now.
I had somebody say this to me yesterday when I said, what do you want? And they said they didn't know. And I said, yes, you do.
Yeah, we always do.
We know what we want. Most of the time we're just afraid to verbalize it. And most of the time also, it's really a strategy that comes out of our mouth. And it's a strategy and not a need, not a desire. It's what will give us the way we want to feel. So that's a place that I often go with somebody when they say they want a specific thing, especially when they say they want a specific thing from someone else, right? Like, well, I want my partner to go to therapy. Mm-hmm. See, that's hard because I'm not coaching your partner. I'm coaching you.
Right.
And I'm not going to coach the situation either. I'm coaching you.
Right.
Right. So if you want your partner to go to therapy, what would that give you?
Good question.
Right. And, that's where I get to the place where someone will say, well, it would give me peace of mind. It would give me, it would make me not have to be like the therapist, right? It would give me the freedom of not having to listen to whatever problems I can't even solve anyway. It would give me peace. It would give me comfort. It would give me happiness knowing my partner was getting better. Things like that, right? So then I'm like, okay, so you can have all those things regardless of whether your partner goes to therapy. Like, you just want to feel peace, right? And we work from there. I love the perfect day exercise. I have used that for lots of years. And I use it myself, right? Like, every year when I decide what I want to create, I will create what I call a hyper sigil. It's basically me stepping into that thing. Whatever it is, like you were talking about, I love that you said it's like down to where you live, what kind of clothes you wear, you know, what do you eat for breakfast? Like, what do you do in your fun time? How many clients do you have? What do you coach around? What are your hours like? If you can get all those details, then you get a real sense of it, because what you want to do is become the person that has that.
Right.
Because it's not about having that. It's about becoming the person that has that, right? The work is on
there
you.
It is.
The work isn't everywhere else. The work is on you.
Right.
Once you can step into that role, so to speak. And so I do that every year. Like, if I'm going to write a book, like a couple years back, I was going to write a book. And I said, who is this person writing this book? Like, what does she wear? Right. And she wore black turtlenecks and black leggings and pointy black sexy shoes and red lipstick and red fingernails. And like, that was like my uniform. Like, while I was writing that book, I just stepped into that. Clothes and makeup to me are like costuming, right? They're the easiest way for me to like step into that persona. My husband called it my super suit.
I love it.
Right. So this year it's something completely different, but it's always about coaching the person. It's always about us stepping into being that person. It's the things around you can't make you any different. It's that when you change and you're different, the things around you will change. Oh my gosh. That reminds me, Walt, of that story. So I have to tell it because I've probably told it 5 times on the podcast.
That's all right.
But my husband and I, we were talking about, we wanted to stay in this 5-star hotel. We'd never been there before, but it was a new hotel in town. It was really pretty, a little boutique hotel. And Walt and I had been talking about this mantra of, I feel rich.
Uh-huh.
Not I am rich, because the bank account can argue with you there, right? The bank account goes, you're not rich. Bill Gates is rich. You're not rich. So I feel rich. And so my husband and I started saying, I feel rich all the time. Like, it was hysterical. We were out with family and we made a toast and we said, I feel rich. My husband said, I feel rich. And our family looked at us like we were nuts. But we were having fun. And so we kept saying this. And then I told Walt that I didn't have any prayer beads at the time. So I grabbed some Mardi Gras beads and I decided that I was going to do 1,000 repetitions a day of I feel rich. For like, I can't remember, Walt, was it 10 days, 30 days? It was a container of time.
Right? Maybe 2 weeks at the max, yeah.
I started doing it, and things started happening. And then we started saying, we need to go stay a couple of nights in this really fancy hotel because we will feel rich being in this hotel. You know, we need to do this. Well, then our wood floors in our house started warping, and nobody could figure out why.
Oh.
And there was some kind of water. It was that when Louisiana had the big floods, we are nowhere near flooding. We are way up on a hill, but it was something about the water in the ground and it started like having an effect. So we had to get our floors redone and we had to move out of the house for a little while they did that. And guess where we stayed?
Really?
We did. And so we get there and we are going up to our room, and the door of our room is painted matte black, and it's got like a vault handle on it. It looks like a big bank vault. Hmm. All the hotel room doors, the building is in an old bank building, so all the hotel room doors look like a bank vault.
Oh.
And we were like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So we go into the room, and on the wall is a big mirror, and etched into the mirror, on the frame around the mirror, it says, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. It was wild. And we went to dinner in the restaurant, and the restaurant manager came over and like gifted us with a $300 bottle of wine. Like,
wow.
It just kept coming. Like, and so Walt and I have laughed about this a lot. Like, well, why don't we just keep saying it? It was
working
really well. Things were happening. I don't know. But yeah, so what, our words are powerful, and our being, how we are being. That's why it's so important. I'm always talking about people, about I am. I had a client recently that, you know, I always encourage my clients to say how they feel and to not shy away from emotions that are uncomfortable. Because that's a big trap in the LOA community, is thinking that bad feelings are bad.
Right.
If something feels bad, we don't want that. Oh, just ignore it. And that doesn't work. So one of the ways we can process that is just to say, I feel whatever. I feel angry. I feel frustrated. I feel sad. It's okay. We do feel those things.
Right.
Welcome to Earth. And so...
Yes.
Even just saying, I feel sad, sometimes lifts some of the sadness instead of like trying to push it down and hold it in and say, no, no, it's good. I'm good. Right. So my client said, I feel uncomfortable. And I was so excited because they didn't say, I am.
Right. They put the feel in. Yeah.
I am angry. I am, you know, you're so much more than anger. Right. But you might feel angry. So. It's subtle, but our words are powerful. And if we can be that thing, if we can be that being that has the things we say we want, they will come.
I've been actually incorporating that idea of the word feel into mirror exercises, my daily routines and so forth. And it is amazing to me how just changing that word am to feel gets me into the higher vibe place about 3 to 4 times faster.
Yep.
Than just saying am, regardless of the other implications. I mean, everything else you talked about, those implications are important too. But I'm just thinking just how quickly I amp up to the higher vibe space just by changing the word over to feel.
I always feel like I'm being so persnickety with the client when they say, okay, I'm sad. Okay, don't, but let's change that up a little bit and say, I feel sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I always feel like, oh my gosh, that people have to think sometimes.
There goes Cindy again.
I'm so persnickety about this. But, you know, it's subtle, but I think it sends a message to our subconscious. And I am is a powerful statement.
Very.
Careful where we use it and how we use it, and use it to create something we want to create, right? Yeah.
We don't give enough credit to the power of, I mean, you describe it often, Cindy, in terms of the power of our words. I think of it more in terms of the power of our thoughts, although basically it amounts to the same thing. But we don't give enough credit to ourselves in terms of how powerful we really are, do we?
Once a thought comes out your mouth, it has some momentum.
Yeah.
Usually.
Well, I mean, unless you contradict it, which we are very capable of doing, but.
Yes, and we do a lot.
We do. Well, that's why you guys have jobs. You're coaches. I mean, you're helping people to change the way they talk to themselves and the way they talk to other people and tell the different stories.
That's a big part of it. It's a big part of it.
Yeah.
Help people's mental chatter, you know, people's inner thoughts, inner self-talk. That's what I was looking for, your self-talk. You know, it's like, I remember somebody saying that if somebody followed you around for 2 weeks and wrote down everything you said, and this is not even in your head, this is just out of your mouth.
Mm.
But if you had access also to your inner self-talk, that the top 10 things that you were saying, those are the programs that are just running you.
Yeah.
That's a great point. Yeah. And it's a little frightening, by the way. I mean, I think about some of the things that have gone through my head and like, oh my God, turn that stuff off real fast.
Well, you know, there's all those stories people say, and we hear them all the time so much that they're cliches. It's like, I'm not good at math. I never remember names, you know, just things that people say about themselves. And it's like, stop saying that. I like to say, up until now, I haven't been very good at remembering names, but starting today, I'm going to remember your name.
That's a good way to do it. Yeah.
How
do you, Monique, when you're dealing with clients, how do you help people to change that story around?
Usually a lot of the negative, I was going to say the mirroring technique for the negative self-talk. Walt, you and I have talked about that several times. You also know that I am also big on affirmations and recording them in your own voice and listening back to them repeatedly.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I think there's something powerful about, and I've told people that too. It's like, I think there's something powerful about hearing it in your own voice.
In your own voice, yeah. It's like you're giving yourself a command, I guess, in a way.
Yeah.
I really feel like your subconscious mind kind of perks up because it hears your voice. I can listen to an affirmation by Bob Proctor all day long, and I love Bob, but I think there's something about when I hear it from me that makes my subconscious mind kind of take notice a little bit more. Oh, I'm talking to myself. Oh, okay. I'm talking to Monique. Monique is talking to Monique, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this must be important, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I found that my clients find that very, very powerful, and they're really surprised at how powerful it is because they never think to record their own affirmations and listen to them themselves. They're always, well, I found some on YouTube. Do you think these are good? You know, kind of thing.
Or people say, that's a good affirmation. Do I have to say it out loud?
Yeah, right.
Well, you don't have to say it out loud, but I think it might work better.
Right.
Well, if I can't say it out loud, and very often I don't feel like I can, just because of the environment that I'm in. So I'll just get out a mirror and I'll just say it quietly into the mirror. Mm-hmm. I figure that has as much power because I'm saying it directly into my own eyes and I can't really ignore it that way.
That's extremely powerful. And it's very uncomfortable for a lot of my clients in the very beginning.
I think it's comfortable for everybody.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Monique, I feel so stupid saying that. Well, first of all, don't say you feel stupid saying that. You know?
Yeah, right?
It makes me feel uncomfortable. Yeah, okay, it is. But, you know, Walt, you and I have also talked about that. Cindy, Walt and I have talked a lot about self-love and how that kind of translates over into people, you know, being uncomfortable, super uncomfortable with saying to themselves, I love you. You've done a great job. You're a good person, right? Yeah,
definitely. I tell clients right away, if I bring up mirror work, I say, okay, you're probably going to feel really uncomfortable doing this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, just let them know that's normal. Like, everybody feels uncomfortable.
Right.
And just stick with it. Just make the commitment to yourself that you're going to stick with it. Yeah. And then it just doesn't feel uncomfortable anymore. You know, I tell my clients sometimes, you know, anytime you're in the house and you walk by a mirror and you see yourself, just wink at yourself, you know?
Oh, I like that.
Wave at yourself. Just say, hey, it's good to see you. It's good to see you.
I like that one. I like that one. Okay, I'm going to take that one. I like that one.
Okay, good
happen. I like that. It's good to see you.
The StreamYard experiment is already paying off because we're getting more and more people contributing into the conversation. Now, Jeffrey, who we haven't seen a lot of lately, but he's been showing up in the last few shows. So welcome back, Jeffrey. He says, I say I am experiencing, and then he says what the emotion is. What do you guys think of that approach?
Yeah, I think that's fine too. You know, it's kind of like when we talk about the energy levels and, you know, I am experiencing whatever. I think it's a great way to process it. Because it's true, right? You are experiencing it.
Yeah.
And
the more you say it, the more you make it true.
Yeah. So it's like just experiencing it is fine. It's a powerful thing for our brain. We do this all the time, is we want to label everything. it's not always the best thing to do, because that level of judgment of everything, putting everything in categories, good or bad, but we do it all the time, right? Say,
yeah,
this tea is better than the tea I had yesterday, right? Like, we compare everything, we label everything. But I really like that I am experiencing, because it's just sort of matter of fact. And it's just like, this is what I'm experiencing. I am not anger or frustration. I'm just experiencing that. It's just a thing. Now, emotions are energy in motion. Emotions move through the body, and they move in different ways. Like, sadness often requires tears to move through the body. And when we don't let ourselves experience that movement, when we ignore it, we clamp down and decide, no, I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to be
right. We stifle it.
Then we push it down. And so just, I think that saying I feel this, or I'm experiencing this, is perfect.
Yeah. Completely healthy and normal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good way to get a conversation going too, when you need somebody to be there to support you. I found that out with my wife. There was an occasion recently, I can't remember exactly what it was about, but something was coming up in me, and I started by saying, I feel whatever that emotion was at that point in time. And well, first of all, it's great when you're married to a therapist. Second of all, with her help, I was able to get through that thing in about 5 minutes, and it was done.
Nice.
It wasn't hanging around anymore.
Walt should be like the most mentally healthy person on the planet.
Right.
Like,
I know.
He's with these life coaches all the time that are like,
hey, there's a method to my madness. I do this for a reason, you know. This isn't just because I like doing LOA Today, although that is true. I love doing the podcast. But yeah, from the very beginning, my whole philosophy has been bringing people who understand this stuff better than I do, and I'll get good at it. And you know what? It works.
You are.
It actually works.
Yeah.
Definitely. Come on, Nick. Do you work with, you said you work with coaches mostly?
Yes, I do now. Before, I was just working with women, generally who were over 40, who wanted, like I did, who wanted to manifest major life changes. Usually something, they were leaving their job like I was and going into business for themselves. Or they also made a major life change, like a move, like I moved from Atlanta to Miami and quit my corporate job and went into coaching at the same time.
Ooh.
So, oh yeah, I'm pretty bold. I'm pretty
she
bold.
Doesn't do things by halves. So she just dives.
Right.
Yeah.
Just yeah.
Go.
Yeah.
Go bigger, go home. Challenge.
Huh?
I said, go big or go home, right?
Exactly. I mean, it's all the same to the universe. So it's like, what the hell? But yeah, now I mostly now have shifted my business to work with online business coaches who seem to be stuck at $10,000 a month in their business. And for whatever reason, they can't seem to plateau that. But to your point, what we were talking about earlier, what I'm getting them to do is to understand, like you said, it's more about the being and less about the doing. Yes. And just what you talked about, that's exactly what I teach them, how to shift identity by getting into the role of the $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a month coach, whatever that next level money looks like for you, right?
Yep.
And they're so amazed at how it works. Of course it works, right?
Well, you know, sometimes I think there are hidden things, belief systems in there, right? Like,
definitely.
Right, like, I remember hearing somebody that really, really wanted to write a best-selling book and just couldn't get it done, couldn't make it happen. Mm-hmm. And then digging down, hearing that, well, best-selling authors have to go on book tours where they're away from their family most of the time, and I really don't want to do that, right? So if there's something that you think is attached to that thing you want, and that thing that's attached to it that you think has to be attached is something you don't want, you would just hold yourself from it. You know, it's like the people that grew up where money was caused a lot of strife.
Right.
You know, rich family, strife. You know, somebody's taking my inheritance. Poor family, strife. Somebody spent the money on the wrong thing and now, you know, we don't have enough money. It doesn't matter the level of money.
Right.
It's, if money caused fights in the family or caused strife, then sometimes people are like, oh, well, why would they want that if they want to have peace in their life? So they've attached two things together. But when you get the future best-selling author to realize, well, there's plenty of authors out there that are bestsellers that don't do book tours.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh. So sometimes we have some thing that's attached and we just don't want that thing. It's not that we don't want the thing we're going for. It's that we think it has to contain something we don't want.
Right. And whenever they bring up the thing that they don't want, the thing that I love to ask Cindy and Walt is this a limiting belief or is this a fact? Is this something that you know to be true or is this just something that you think is true based on someone else's experience? Just because it's someone else's experience, it doesn't mean it has to be yours.
Right. I like to dive into the worst case scenarios, right? So somebody that I was coaching that was kind of in your genre as somebody that was very, very successful and kind of stuck at that one place and say they want to go to the next level of money and success and business, but they haven't. And I asked them, so what bad thing's going to happen when you do that? And they immediately said, the haters will come out and I'll probably get into some kind of tax trouble. And I said, well, let's go there. What are you going to do when the haters come out? And they're like, shh. You know, you really think you're going to get into tax trouble? Probably not. It's like, wouldn't you just hire somebody to help you work it out? Yeah. All of a sudden, it's like the things that seem so big and scary were like, yeah, that's right. I was like, look, you've gotten to where you are. I have complete confidence that when these hurdles come, you'll know how to jump over them. Like, you'll figure it out, right? You'll figure it
right.
out.
Right. Yeah. And there were things that haven't even happened yet, right?
Yeah. And that's how it
probably won't happen.
That's what cracks me up, right? It's like in the Bible, the story of Job, right? That had everything that could go wrong went wrong. And Job, the thing I feared the most has come to pass.
Yeah.
The thing you fear the most hardly ever comes to pass.
Yeah. That's usually how it is. That's just how it is.
Right. And so it's like, yeah, just dealing, we deal with it. We'll deal with it. But you know, that survival part of our brain does not like change.
No.
Doesn't like the unknown. It doesn't like, you know, anything to change because we know we can survive a day that was just like yesterday because we did it once. But we don't know if we can survive suddenly making, you know, $40,000 a month. We don't know. It's different.
Right.
Well, go ahead. Go ahead, Monique.
Oh, no, I was just agreeing. Yes, it is different.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I just wanted to add in that we also have confirmation from our listeners that we don't like change because, like, Cindy, when you went off on your extended break, we got an email from a listener saying, no, she can't go. We can't do that. And then Linda Armstrong recently left. No, I don't like change. Linda can't leave. And then, you know, it's like the next person comes through. No, I don't want that person. So wonderful. You can't have that person go.
I think we see this across like every area of our life, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like we know we have this, we are big fans of Trader Joe's and just like anywhere you shop, you get used to certain things, right? It's like, this is the thing we buy and we buy this thing and we buy this thing. And there will be something that we fall in love with and then it'll get discontinued. And we always call that being Joed. Oh, we got Joed. And, and it's like, you know, we all know, well, there will be some other thing that takes its place that you love too, right? And that's how it is all across life. It's like when we lose things, it makes space for some other thing to come. It's like if we miss an opportunity, some other opportunity will come along. It's just not that bad, but that part of our brain just freaks, doesn't like it at all.
It's true.
Yes, very true.
Change from something missing at the grocery store to, you know, a co-host taking a break to whatever it is. Our favorite TV show goes off the air, whatever. It's like, no, how can this happen? Yeah. What would it be like? You know, sometimes I wonder, what would it be like if we just made the decision that for at least one time container, whatever that is, we're just going to like embrace every change that happens and just, you know, get excited about it, right? It's like, guess what? This thing got discontinued. Yes! You know, just like.
I love it. That's great. Yeah, I got to try that.
I mean, I think we might begin to kind of retrain our brain a little bit, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, by a lot, not a little bit, a lot. Right?
Just to have a different response. It would definitely be a response, you know, instead of a
reaction. when you consider how many of the things that go through our minds, you know, the thought patterns that go through our minds every day, how many of them are repetitions of yesterday? You know,
a lot.
So replacing that with an entirely new expectation about how a changed event is going to affect us, that would be pretty big. Cause I mean, you're basically leaving open the possibility of seeing large chunks of your lifestyle change quickly just by making that shift in thought process. I mean, this could be like mammoth. This could be huge.
I'm thinking about it. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Oh, I burned dinner. This is awesome.
A little reptile in the back is saying, "Oh my god, I'm terrified of this. This is scary."
Why is the back of my brainstem hurting so much? I think it would work.
Jeffrey posted a question. It is an interesting question. Have you ever heard someone refer to their emotion as crunchy?
No, I have not.
I'm like, probably yes. Well, it's like, yeah, I knew Cindy was going to say that. I'm thinking to myself, I think I've actually said to my husband, I don't know, I feel a little crunchy about that. I don't know what it
means. Oh, come on. You can't leave us hanging like that. You got to tell us what crunchy means.
Right.
Just kind of like, I don't know about that.
So are we supposed to celebrate feeling crunchy now?
Yes, that's a good one. Jeffrey, woo!
All right, Jeffrey.
Awesome. Awesome.
Crunchy emotions.
Say, I saw everyone on your podcast celebrating. Why were y'all celebrating? Because Jeffrey was crunchy.
He was feeling crunchy.
People are scratching their heads saying, what on earth does that mean?
Well, you people seem a little bit crazy, but you also seem very happy. So there's something going on here we need to find out about.
Well, that means that we are living up to our motto. This is the Daily Dose of Happy. So we're right. Doing that part well. That is a good thing.
Exactly.
That's it.
Oh, God. Well, I have to say, you guys are living up to my expectation. You really are. Because I figured if I get both of you onto the same conversation at the same time, the whole vibe was going to go reach a new level that was far beyond anything we'd ever reached before. And that's precisely what's happened.
You actually said that to me today.
I did.
Yes. Yeah.
Didn't I say that? Yeah. And it's proving exactly to be true.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I mean, I laugh a lot when I do this show with all of you guys, all my co-hosts. But right now, I'm just like, I'm on 12. I've skipped past 11.
Oh, yay!
You know, we've talked about the power of laughter as far as health, like in the body. Like yeah. I don't know anything to tell you, but Walt knows about it. He knows the study about what happens with the like blood cells in the body and the immune system.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah.
So it's like that old, you know, laughter is good medicine. It's really true.
Yeah.
It literally is true. Yeah.
So it's wonderful in a world where we're dealing with so many health things to just laugh as much as we can. You know, that's one of the questions. I mean, Monique, you deal with business coaches. I coach a life coach, but also coach around relationships a lot. Like that's my area of expertise would be relationship. And it's not the be all and end all of diagnosing a relationship, but one of the questions, you know, when's the last time you and your partner had a belly laugh? How often does that happen? Like that's a really good indicator of things going well in a relationship, right? And it's kind of funny to think about it now. We're talking about health and laughing. The health of the relationship. It's like really important. It can't be the only thing that's going right, but it is really important. And I think my husband and I laugh every day. There is something that we're just having a belly laugh over. So yeah. I think it's a good indicator, right? And it's like relationship coaching. We often talk about, you talk about self-love all the time. You and Walt have been talking about self-love.
Yeah.
your relationship with yourself is the number one relationship that determines the quality of your whole life and all your other relationships.
Oh, definitely.
Everything's just mirroring back to you, your relationship with yourself. Yep. So laughing, even if it's just you laughing, right? Even if you're just finding things to laugh about,
yes, is
going to be a boon to your health. So we need to laugh a lot. So, yes.
It's true. It's true. And actually, I learned that you talked about the physiology of it. I learned about the physiology from my sister-in-law, Yona, who's on a couple different locations. Yeah. A couple of different occasions has been a co-host here on the show. Because she has done a lot of study on that. She has her PhD in statistics, but at one point she was kind of looking into neurology, was leaning that direction for her PhD. I think she got her master's there. But one of the things she taught me is that with the equipment that research scientists have today, because they can measure all kinds of things. They can measure what's going on in the brain. They can, you know, see what's happening with the nervous system. They can see, you know, when this happens there, what happens down in the stomach. I mean, they can check all that kind of stuff. They can track things, and they can actually track what happens from the moment that you laugh to what happens in a part of the body that's got disease or damage. They can actually trace the whole system.
Wow.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool that they can do all that. And among the things that they have been able to determine, they've been able to time it. So from the moment that you laugh or think about something that feels really good or celebrate something or get excited, to the moment that healing starts happening in a damaged area or in a diseased area, it's about 90 seconds. I mean, it's that fast. It's really, really fast. And similarly, if you focus your attention on something that is really angry or frustrated or depressed or something like that, then the neurochemicals reverse and they start sending out signals to kill the body. So the body starts killing itself off by focusing on all this stuff that says, I don't like this. This makes me feel lousy. I feel terrible about this.
Wow.
Literally. And again, within that same 90 second time frame, that's when it all starts to happen. Now it doesn't obviously complete the whole process in 90 seconds. Yeah. This is initiating the healing.
Good thing.
Yeah, good thing. Really good. Otherwise, this would be a very short life for most of us.
That's so interesting.
But you think about that and you realize, wow, our thoughts really are important.
Really? I mean,
it's almost impossible to overemphasize it, I think, when you understand it through that particular lens.
Yeah. And feelings.
Yeah.
Feelings. Assume the feeling of the wish fulfilled, right?
That's right.
It's not about the thought of the wish. It's assume the feeling of the wish.
Feeling is the secret.
Yeah. That's it.
By the way, Cindy, Monique is also a Neville fan. Just wanted to let you know.
Oh, yes.
I love Neville. Well, I said, if I had been alive when Neville was alive, I would have been a groupie. Following him all around the world, and he wouldn't have married his wife, he'd have married me.
I love it.
I love that man. Oh my gosh, he was so funny.
I see that there's a potential for you to reincarnate as a Neville groupie or a Neville wife, because Neville is linear, right? I always say things like, you know, in my next life, I'm going to be, and I'll name something back like 200 years ago. And my husband's like, I'm like, if time isn't linear, I can come back into any time I want.
Right. I'll take it, Cindy. I'll take it.
Okay.
I love him.
Time machine. Go back to a Neville show, a Neville concert, a Neville whatever.
Yes.
Lecture. That's what I was looking for.
There was one of the stories, Cindy, you'll probably remember this one. And Monique, you probably know it too, but I can't remember what the story was. It was a story of one of his pupils, and he repeated it often. And it was a story about how, like, there was a big business thing that happened. What was it? Oh, the guy who had the dance studio. Remember that
one? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about.
He was actually interviewed on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Somebody,
did you see that one? Yeah.
You told me about it. Yeah. I did not see it, but you told me about it.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my gosh. Like
the actual guy.
I have to send it to you.
Well, you know, somebody, Neville tells a story that when he was a boy that someone like said a prophecy or something over him, a blessing over him, and then said that your name is going to be, people will talk about your message like 100 years from now. And right. we're all like, hey, that's us. Like,
that's us. We're doing it. Yeah. Right?
In like almost 100 years. So really.
Yeah.
But the reason I thought of that one is in that interview with this guy, he was talking about when he first got exposed to Neville and first heard him talk.
Yeah.
Apparently, he heard him talk, if I remember correctly, you know this video, right, Monique?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you tell me if I got this right. If I remember correctly, he heard about him and saw him in Los Angeles. I believe it was on Wilshire Boulevard. There was some sort of a building there.
He did meet there, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess what happened is, he was kind of halfway about going there. He wasn't really sure. It sounded like, you know, kind of a quack kind of a thing. So he wasn't sure he wanted to go, but he kind of got talked into going and he went. And then Neville gave him the exercise that I think of as the ladder exercise.
Basically, that's what it's called.
Mm-hmm. Is that what he calls it? Okay.
Yep.
So he gives him the ladder exercise and then he says something to the effect, don't come back to the next meeting unless you actually complete it.
Right.
Oh, that's right.
Unless you actually climb the ladder.
Right. Yeah. Yes. And then I guess the next meeting was the next week. I guess it was on a Sunday. So it was the next Sunday. Yep. The next Sunday, it was about one quarter the size crowd, which gave you an instant reading of how many people did not do the ladder exercise.
Oh, people were proud that, not just that one person.
Okay. Oh, yeah. He told it to the entire audience.
It was the exercise to the crowd.
Right. Okay. Yeah, am I reading this right? This is the way I'm remembering that particular story. Like it was a small fraction showed up the second time.
Yeah,
and he said, "You're the ones I'm going to actually coach. You're the ones I'm going to teach how to do this." And he became one of those guys, and ultimately manifested that Arthur Murray franchise and all that kind of thing.
Cool.
But the reason I bring that up is it really just goes to show a lot of people hear a lot of good pieces of advice, smaller number of people exercise it.
Actually take it and do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so true. That's so true.
Yeah.
It's kind of it's almost like a throw the cold water on, like, oh my God, I actually have to do this thing that we're talking about.
I had someone interview me because they were going to hire me and they said, now I'm going to tell you right now, I know that you're going to tell me to do things and I don't want to do them and I'm not going to do them.
Ooh.
I said, well, because some people want to hire a coach and they just want the coach to wave the magic wand and everything changes.
Yeah.
Like, the coach is the thing that changes. And, you know, sometimes people do hire you and start getting results before you ever even meet with them because they've made that intention. Mm. But usually, you know, I like to say magic works best when you marry it with the mundane. So, yes, visualize the job. Also send your resume.
Hell yes, no. Right. Can you say that again for the people in the back, Cindy? Oh my gosh.
It's like, you know, you can think about having that new guy in your life or woman in your life, but you probably should go out and mingle and not just sit at home in your living room, right? You got to take that action too.
Work. Yeah. Safe.
It's not impossible for the cable guy to show up and become the guy. It's just, you don't want to bank on that approach.
I told somebody, I was like, look, you can do that. Maybe the UPS man will and ask people to marry him, but you know.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Exactly. I tell people all the time, there's no attraction without action. As a matter of fact, action is in the word attraction. Hello. Yes. Right. Yeah.
Love it. Yeah.
Like, well, you know, growing up in the Christian church, you know, I think I was talking to a friend of mine, you know, and just thinking about when I wanted to get married, right? So I'm following all the rules. I'm not having sex, you know, I'm not approaching a guy, you know, I'm letting my husband find me and come to me kind of thing, you know, and it's the same thing. It's kind of like they were almost preaching, well, just sit idly by and let your husband find you. No, 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 no. Don't you do those dating sites. No, 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 no. Don't go. You know what I mean? No wonder I stayed single for so long, right? Because I'm waiting for my husband to find me in the church.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I love that. On a regular basis. Without action, though. That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And what's also awesome is having both you ladies on the same show at the same time. I'm glad that we're going to be able to do this on a more regular basis. So
me too. And Cindy, I am going to send a link to Walt only because I don't have your personal phone number. I'm going to send a link to the video. It's actually two that I found on YouTube with this guy that he's talking about, Neville's pupil.
Oh, cool. You got
that. I'm going to send it to him so he can forward it to you. Amazing.
And I'll put it into the description for this episode so that listeners can check it
out.
Oh,
awesome sauce. Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
So good stuff. All right, guys. Well, this has been great. I look forward to doing it again. Thank you, Cindy. Thank you, Monique. Thank you also to our podcast listeners. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.